Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today I'm reading from Romans 8. Let me see if I can read this. Verse 31 to 34. Let me turn it this way. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him, freely give us all things? Who will bring any charges against God elect? It is God who justifies. Who is there to condemn us? For Jesus Christ, who died, and more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. Amen. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your son and for the fact that he intercedes for us every day. He knows our situations, he knows our concerns, he knows everything about us, and he intercedes us through this whole time that we're here and separated from you physically. And you gave your only son to us that we may be part of you and him, Father. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the people here on the screen today and the people present. Bless them. Give them that same feeling of interceding for them, Father, daily. And we thank you for Dawn's message today. And of course, it'll always be of your love and concern for us, Father, and that you've always been there for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for us. Well, good morning and good afternoon.
It is.
When Horace was reading Romans 8, I'm really finding that Jesus intercedes for us at all times. So we're never alone and we're never uncovered. We're never forgotten. And so even if we are on the side of a highway for 7 hours, we're not alone. And so my first encounter was a lady who pulled up behind me to find out if she could help. But then I found out she had driven past me, gone to the next exit, made a U-turn, gone to the one after me, U-turned and came back just to see if there was something she could do. Well, of course, there was nothing really she could do, but the fact that she made that entire effort, which probably took her another 10 or 15 minutes, was really encouraging. So it's good that Jesus intercedes for us. And obviously, if there really had been something that I was dying or whatever, it would have been really helpful. But and so got to experience a nice sunny afternoon, just not exactly where I was planning on spending it, but God is good. And the day ended well. The only shock was this morning I was getting ready and thinking, I was just relaxed and everything and thinking, oh, kind of having Saturday thoughts in my mind. And all of a sudden it hit me. It's like, it's not Saturday. It's like, what happened to Saturday? So moving on from there, it is really exciting to just ponder for this morning, just digging in a little deeper about what the first century, not even the first century, the first years of the church were like. And so we wanted to look at Acts 5 this morning for that, but here's my paragraph, hoping to introduce this section. The unleashing of the power of the Spirit was not limited to a fire and wind event at Pentecost. That was just the announcement of his arrival. What followed were days and weeks of incredible happenings, bold preachings, healings, miracles, extravagant generosity, sweet unity, new births by the thousands, fervent prayer, words of knowledge, prophecies, and undaunted perseverance in the face of Jewish leaders' hatred. The apostles were swept along by a tidal wave of kingdom power and blessing. So it just rose up, and they didn't really understand it, but it rose up inside of them, and they were almost catapulted into a new level of following the Spirit and hearing. And probably it was a time their hearts were just bursting open with availability to whatever it is that God was choosing to do. And yes, it was, I'm sure it was exciting. Yes, it was exhausting. But it was just this tidal wave kept coming and kept coming. And it was just such an incredible experience that they couldn't stop. And while they were exhausted, they were renewed every day, I think. So it was it must have been a combination of just total exhaustion and yet so elated that they couldn't help themselves. So I wanted to read this passage this morning because I don't know about you, but it's one of these passages I've read over so many times and heard read, but I don't stop on it. And so I wanted to read. So Acts 5, 12 through 41 this morning, just a continuation of where we've been these last weeks. Starting in verse 12 from the New Living. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the people were meeting regularly in the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, "Go to the temple and give the people the message of life." So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail on trial. But when the temple guards went into the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported, "The jail was securely locked and the guards standing outside, but when we opened the gates, no one was there." When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. "The men you put in jail are standing in the temple, teaching the people." The captain went with the temple guard and arrested the apostles, but without violence, because they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. "We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name," he said. "Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teachings about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as prince and savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, "Men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will come to nothing. It will be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God." The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council meet rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. So truly astonishing developments here in the story of the beginning of the church and what the Holy Spirit has done through his inspiration. I just see so many amazing developments here. And so in the first verses, 12 through 16, that paragraph there, the incredible thing that is tried to be copied again and again and again over the ages. But there was this amazing thing. It says, because of the apostles' work, because of what they were doing, the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the healings and all of these things that are happening, the people must have looked at them and said, there's nothing that can't be done with these apostles. I mean, it's all possible. So it ended up that the entire area around Jerusalem, every sick person, it seemed, was brought, and they put them on mats and beds along the streets, just so that if Peter walked by, that would be enough that they would be healed. And the crazy thing is, scripture says they were all healed. Because Peter's shadow fell on him. No, Peter did not do that.
Amen.
It was not Peter. And whether Peter knew what was happening, if he knew what the intent of all this sick and lame and whatever lined up on the side of the road, I don't know if he knew what they were there for. But it surely was not a letter that was sent out to all the nation saying, all you've got to do to be healed is just put your people here. And you don't need to send in hankies or anything else. You know, it is just what the Holy Spirit chose to do at that point to convince more and more people that the message of the apostles, this power that was working in them, was from God. It was an amazing event. And so, you know, as I pondered this, I just wondered, you know, what was it like for Peter? You know, were these people cheering along the side of the road? I mean, it must have been quite a spectacle. You know, it was like a hospital, but in outside on the street, and wondering what was going on there. And whether Peter understood that this was happening, I don't know. But because of the faith and the activity of the apostles, the faith of the people rose up to match and said, if we just do this, they can be healed. And their faith was honored. They were all healed. So the blanket number one, it's Spirit-empowered, widespread healings. Peter didn't stop and pray for them. At least it doesn't say he did. And it doesn't even say that Peter was aware of why these people were there. So there were just widespread healings. Just an incredible thing. And I can never get over the sweetness of God for choosing Peter, not only for the first message at Pentecost, but then the leadership role that he immediately took. You know, when we looked last week at these offerings that were coming in from people, you know, and they were giving them to Peter, who obviously was in charge. Peter was the one who was organizing this entire thing. And then here he is considered to be so anointed that merely his shadow was going to bring healing.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And that's just one of the things that the Holy Spirit is capable of doing in the early apostles, but also in us. I mean, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to be able to have that kind of power working in you, that without your awareness even, people were being healed and blessed by your passing by. I would love that to be true. I don't think it is, but at least it hasn't been yet. Let's just say it that way. And then in verses 17 through 28, they're arrested. And then in the middle of the night, an angel comes and gets them out of jail. And, you know, we play Monopoly and there's a get out of free jail free card, you know, and it's almost like that, you know. It's like, well, they're listening to God, they're doing what God is requiring of them. And then, so the angel just comes and gets them out and says, go back to the temple and keep preaching, you know, regardless of the fact you've been just told, don't ever do that again. And so in the morning when they go back, and I love this, the temple guard comes to arrest them, but they do it without violence because they're even afraid that the people will stone them for arresting these men who are doing so much good. They're preaching about God. They're talking about deliverance. They're talking about healing and miracles and God's love for them. And so they do it as quietly as they can to not be too disruptive. And I think they're able to do that because the apostles are willing to go with them, just like Jesus was willing to go when he was arrested. He's, you know, like, you remember, he said when they came, it's like, am I some kind of a criminal that you have to come with swords and all these things in the middle of the night to arrest me? And so here are the apostles. They get taken back for more interrogation. And of course you see the haughtiness here when religious people, they said, we gave you strict orders never again to preach in that man's name. But not only that, you filled the entire city with this teaching, and you're trying to make us responsible for his death. Like, how dare you do anything so terrible? And then Peter's response, basically, we have to obey God rather than you. Well, here it says human authority, but basically that's what they're receiving. We need to do what we've seen happen. And he says, you know, there's healing that comes, and we've seen it. The Holy Spirit has also seen it, and he agrees with this. The Holy Spirit is given to all who obey. Ouch. Basically telling these guys, you're being held responsible because this is what you did. You have not obeyed. And it goes right afterwards and says, when they heard this, they were absolutely furious and wanted to kill them right away. But then Gamaliel, this respected elder who most think he was probably a secret follower of Jesus. But the way he says this, you know, he just uses the logic that they're expecting. He talks about two who brought up a rebellion, but once he was killed, everything came to nothing. And so, you know, he said, I think we should do the same. Just be careful. And especially when he says, you might even find yourselves fighting against God. So they listen to him because he's respected. And so they're going to let them go, but they have them flogged. That's incredible. But the blanket number two is Spirit-empowered commission to preach. Commission to preach. They're told never again, and they turn right around and they do it again. Boldly in the temple, not privately, not where nobody would find out, but in the most public place in all of Jerusalem, and they're teaching again. And so they have this boldness in them, this commission that is just burning in them, you know, this burning in my bones. One of the prophets says, it's this fire shut up in my bones, and woe to me if I don't preach. And so it's Spirit-empowered commission. They can't stop. They can't not do this. And so regardless of the threats, which normally under a normal, in a normal situation, you'd be terrified. The religious ruler said, don't ever do this again. We are giving you this order. That'd be enough to shut people down. But they're so filled with the Spirit, they can't stop going and preaching. And then the final verse is where they are brought back there again, and they give this message that they can't stop preaching. As at the end, when they've had them flogged, I mean, flogged, it's not a pretty thing, right? It's a really severe punishment. And in verse 41, I would need a lot of grace to do this. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer for his name. That is grace. I mean, you don't get flogged and leave rejoicing because you've been counted worthy to suffer for the name.
Right.
And so the last blank, number three, Spirit-empowered, that boldness, which is forever, and then divine intervention. They are just able. They are just able. The divine intervention here in this last section is also referring, I think, to Gamaliel. Here is this one who prevented them from being killed using logic they understood and using his respected voice. He intervened on their behalf so that they decided, okay, so all we'll do is have them flogged and then we'll release them. And so, verse 40, 41, every day in the temple, from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. And so, these early days are so filled with multiple affirmations of the power of the Spirit working in and through the apostles. Men and women everywhere, crowds of them are coming. And when early on, when it says they met together in the temple, but no one else dared join them, it was a scary thing for people because there was a target on the apostles' heads. Everyone knew they're preaching this very controversial message about Jesus being the Messiah. And so while people were believing, I think at the beginning, there were a lot of them that chose not to be in the temple, not to be publicly associated, even though they had great respect. But it's like, man, we're putting our heads on the line if we join up with the and are seen side by side with these people as being part of the group. And so The spirit, I think, is having a heyday. He's loving this. He's given like carte blanche, and he can just release the power. He can do these things. And I think when he set up the whole thing about Peter's shadow healing people and delivering them from demonic oppression and whatever, I think he loved doing that. It's just like, well, I have the ability to do this. I'm going to set this free. The Father obviously gave him permission to do this. And so he's allowing this, these shadow healings, which I think is just a wild thing. I'd love to have been there to watch that happen and to see these people, one's paralyzed or whatever, Peter passes and they jump up for joy, you know, with nobody speaking to them. And so the demons must have been fleeing like crazy. Satan must have been screaming because there's so much power being released here. It's just like the religious rulers, and they're saying, like, where is this all going to end? You know, how do these guys get out of jail? How do they go back to the temple? How do they have boldness to do this? It's got to be frightening. You know, it's like, we ordered you, and that wasn't even enough to silence them. So, you know, these are amazing days for the church, these early days before the church falls into all kinds of other foolishness. And, you know, like I've mentioned before in my writings, you know, throughout the centuries, the church has been through great days of great joy, great rejoicing, seeing lots of work by the Holy Spirit. And then we've gone through these lulls where nothing's been happening and people have just kind of turned to do their own thing. And it keeps coming in waves. And so lots of prophetic voices are saying today there's another wave coming. And we would love to see that. We would love to see people coming in those kind of numbers. And I remember in the early days of the Vineyard, John Wimber would say, in these days that we're living now, you could sneeze people into the kingdom. You know, it was so crazy how many people were coming. And so these baptisms that are coming, and the what seems to be like a revival among university age students and young adults is really an amazing thing. Who knows where it's going, how far it's going to go, but it seems like there's an amazing move already of the Holy Spirit. And so it's really exciting, and he's unlimited. Obviously, he's God. And so his power is unlimited, and he's been given to us to indwell us as believers to do the very things that he did then. So he has not changed. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the same today as he was then. And the power is the same. So this wonder-working power is something we long for, something that we want to see in our lives. And so we sing that song, you know, in our day, in our time, do it again. You know, just do it again. And like little children, you know, if you're playing with little children and you do something, and they remember, they get this word again. And they want to do it again. Or, you know, if they have favorite books, they want it read again. Do it again. And to most mothers more, when fathers are tossing their children in the air and catching them, much to the glee of the children, the mother is like, I can just see what's going to happen here. And the child is going, again. So there's great joy in heaven, and he loves to spread his joy. And that's what is happening here. You can imagine with all the people being liberated from the power of sin and death, and all those who are liberated from the illnesses and the sicknesses and all the things that set them back. The number of people, the number of times, we don't even know them all. We certainly don't know their names, but they're everywhere. So, you know, it begins like the best kind of pandemic, actually. The Holy Spirit just breaks out, and he just moves everywhere in everyone that is willing to listen and hear him. So let me pray for us as we ponder this amazing period of the church and what he's done in us. Father, thank you for Luke's writing of these amazing days and weeks and months of the church, the powerful outflow of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and through many others as days went on. And as crowds grew and church groups were gathering and they continued to multiply. What amazing days in the face of much opposition, great persecution even. So thank you for reminding us afresh of all that you have to do and choose to do in us and through us in the 21st century as your children. How amazing that we have that same power with us. Remind us and refresh that knowledge as we look at these days and as we anticipate what you will do, even through us. And you did it through the lives of these guys, these apostles. Then we have faith to believe you can do the same through us. In our day, in our time, do it again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.